At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? Get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
All right, you're welcome along. It's Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock this evening. We've got a busy show lined up. Our latest Super Value Roadshow coming your way after 8 o'clock. Part one of it features two legends of Tipperary, two legends in slightly different fields. Declan Brown, one of their greatest ever footballers, and Pat Short, just one of the all-time greats, really, of this country. They're going to be joining Joe Malloy and Kieran Donaghy after 8 o'clock. Lots of football to get through as well. John Giles will join us at 7:30. We'll talk about a disappointing, yet again, night for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. How much of the blame has to go on the Manchester United manager for not taking off Fred when everybody in the world knew that he was going to get sent off? We'll also talk to Miguel Delaney about that and what is the future for Solskjaer at Manchester United. We will also talk about the latest plans for a revamp of the Champions League. That is coming up on the football show. Melissa Reddy as well, as we reflect a little bit more on Kevin Kelleher's debut for Liverpool and what his future, both in the short term and the long term, is at the club. 53106 is the text number, at Off the Ball on Twitter. We will keep a close eye on everything that happens with Dundalk as well, up against Molde. That one doesn't get underway until 8 o'clock. And the news round here on Off the Ball on News Talk is with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. Richie McCormack, good evening.
Hey Nathan, how are you?
I'm all right. Will O'Callaghan once again bringing the festive spirit. How are you?
Yeah, December 1st, lads. The tree went up and I've added a snowman over my shoulder. Kind of the plan is every week as we get closer to Christmas, I'll add some other Christmas knickknack into the background.
That's a serious TV you got there as well.
Yeah, it's not bad.
The backlight is impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, so it'll have Dundalk and Molde on it in about 50 minutes time, and wow. We'll see if this kind of mix and match Dundalk team can get a result and maybe earn back some money after losing 50 grand for Giovagnoli and his shadow coaching with Shane Keegan earlier in the tournament.
When are you going to get the old Christmas tree in the background, Richie? Come
not
on.
Me. See, this is the thing. The bedroom is like the least festive room in this house. I think, what was it, the 28th, I think, something like that. Last weekend is when the tree and literally all the decorations went up. So to give you, like, there's a wreath with lights on it on the door. There's none of this is on air, so it doesn't really matter. There's a wreath, there's an inflatable snowman out the front.
Look, why do you hate Christmas, Richie?
I'm a Grinch, but it's important to note that the Grinch didn't hate Christmas. He hated people.
And well, fair, there's a lot to be said for you that. Most definitely take that box.
Yeah, but like, yeah, I don't know, like, do you have, like, I'm in the bedroom without wanting to break the fourth wall too much here. do you usually put up Christmas decorations in the bedroom? Is it a step too far?
I think it may well be a step too far, but these are unusual times. I can't imagine, Richie, and I don't know too much, and you don't need to go into too much detail. I don't know how often before this March you used to have the camera on and be broadcasting to the rest of the world from your bedroom. So things have changed.
Yeah, there was a geo block on Irish visitations to whatever streams were going on from this bedroom. But yeah, like at least in Will's bedroom, I know has the hot tub up there. I think as far as we're all led to believe. So mine is slightly more Spartan, but it does occasionally have the dog. I think Lucy's sleeping behind me as well, so she's knackered too.
You're not joking there. Will O'Callaghan did invest. You were one of those who invested in the hot tub.
Yeah, that was last year, though. I actually don't have the hot tub currently up. It could well come out for New Year.
Why is it an inflatable hot tub?
It is, yeah. It can go out and be taken down, yeah.
Right. And where did you get that now?
It was a sound investment in a German company in Ireland about a year and a half ago. It was ahead of that really hot summer that we had, and I regret nothing, as much as Richie manages to fit a sneer in on every single news round.
And I feel we're definitely getting to a stage where we're going to reveal a lot about people's personal lives tonight. But the house you're living in, how many other people live there?
It's only me currently. Okay. I did have housemates at the time. So.
And was this a joint investment? Were they impressed / freaked out when you arrived home, when they arrived home from work and you're in an inflatable...
What's the conversation? Like, do you discuss it among yourselves first and then go, do you think we should get a hot tub, lads? And then the three of you go, yeah. Or do you go on a solo run and they come home and you're like, lads, I got a hot tub. And they find you chilling with a pina colada in one hand and, you know, a slightly wry look in your eye. And they're a little bit worried and backing out the door. Is that why you no longer have housemates? Or
It's possibly closer to the second story than the first one. Yeah, they were in work. It was my day off. I saw that these were coming up on offer when I was shopping at the weekend. I think it was like a Thursday whenever the offers come around.
You just get this in the middle aisle. Like, it's just there and you pick it up, it's in a box and you go home and you blow it up.
That is exactly what happened. Right. I managed to struggle to get it into the boot of the car, which was left open, got it home. Housemates came back at that point, and then all three of us had to go on a construction effort and then wait about 13 hours for the water to be warm enough to climb in.
So it's indoor and inflatable. Like, do you have to boil the kettle a few times?
Yeah, you can use it indoor or outdoor.
Well, that doesn't seem very safe at all.
Well, do you have to boil the kettle then to get the hot water in it? Do you pump a hose in? What goes on here? What's the practicalities of it?
No, it actually has a heating mechanism inside it. So it has an element that kind of very slowly heats the water up itself. And,
well, this doesn't sound safe in any way, Will. Indoors, a blow-up hot tub that has a heating mechanism inside and you're just throwing water in on it.
Yeah, it's done reasonably safely, but I imagine any of my neighbours who are watching this and recognise, you know, a living room that looks similar to theirs are probably quite concerned underneath if they're watching off the ball right now. But we've had no mishaps, thankfully.
Right. So I don't think either myself or Richie have shared a house with somebody that we're not married to for quite a while. So, like, was there we all know the complications when you're sharing a house with people around, you know, privacy and things like that. Like, did you have to have a clock in, clock off system for who went in? Are we all in together? Or
I think this goes into dodgy territory now. But yeah, no, well, look, all of us were happy enough that summer. It was the really warm summer of 2018.
Oh, I can only imagine. It must have got to at least 20 degrees one of the days, Will. Wowzers.
Look, the middle of the country gets a bit hotter than elsewhere. It was a great summer. We were able to watch World Cup, usually leading into Love Island, have a few drinks. It was happy days. And thankfully, it didn't leak at any point, which was my concern the entire time it was up.
Right. So maybe special occasions over Christmas, it may return. Geez, that was peak. The boom is back.
Yeah, it's like a very cheap version of the boom is back. Right. I think those who had Midlands a bit more money in the Celtic Tiger had a permanent version as opposed to the blow up economy version that we had. But there you go.
Hi, Richie. In all your reports today, you name checked the returning big guns to Farrell's pack, but omitted Caelan Doris each time. Why?
Right.
He seems more secure at 8 than several of those you named. Best from Fred.
He's the junior member of those coming back into the side, you would say, in terms of age and experience at international level. So referring to the Sextons of this world as big guns, as opposed to the Dorises, regardless of anatomical
size. Why do you hate Mayo people? Why can't you just give the Mayo man his dues?
They're getting enough over the course of this winter. The Mayo has been given undue prominence during the course of the autumn-winter schedule through, you know, the coronavirus and everything else, and a fairly handy Connacht championship. So, you know, Mayo are getting enough, Nathan.
That's true.
It's about time they stood down.
Text in from Nobby to 53106. An indoor blow-up hot tub. Is Will's gaff auditioning for Boogie Nights or something? Does he ever fly around the house on roller skates a la Heather Graham?
Jesus.
I'll let you into a bit of personal information. The night I met my wife was at a fancy dress party, and she was dressed up as Heather Graham from Boogie Nights, going around on her roller skates. There you go. She won't thank me for letting the nation know that.
You're getting a phone call straight after this.
Listen, it's out there now. I was dressed up as, and this shows what true love it was, you know in Zoolander when he goes into the cave?
Yes.
Yeah, and he's dressed in the really tight vest. Yeah. So this was about 2006, 2007, and I was a somewhat slimmer man than I am now. So I went as Zoolander in the cave, sort of covered in dust with the vest. It still did look a little bit more Rab C. Nesbitt than Zoolander, yet somehow you know, true love still managed to blossom that night.
So Zoolander and Roller Girl came together as one. And
magical.
Yeah, it's all odds.
This seems like an inappropriate text that JP has sent in, but I'll read it out anyways, just before we tear through the news round. Richie, everyone knows your bedroom is where the magic happens, and this time of year is all about the magic of Christmas. So I expect your bedroom to be a hotbed of festive fun on a nightly basis, says John.
Good Lord. Lucy, did you hear that? Fun?
Lucy's the dog, by the way.
Yeah, Lucy's the dog. She's asleep behind me and not even looking up. So right. Yeah, that's captured the mood, I think, of this household.
I don't know where we go from this, but I guess, Richie, there's a lot of live football, so maybe get through the scores and we'll try and distract ourselves.
Okay. Dundalk, as we know, in Norway tonight, seeking a first point of the Europa League group campaign. The Lilywhites play Molde from 8. Elsewhere in Group B, Arsenal will have 2,000 fans inside the Emirates for their game with Rapid Vienna. The Dundalk team, by the way, sees Gary Rogers starting goal. It looks like a back three of Sean Hoare, Brian Gartland and Andy Boyle, with Sean Gannon and Cameron Dumigan providing the width in midfield. Then Greg Sloggett, Chris Shields and Jordan Flores, with Nathan Adua in support of Danny Kelly up front. 9 o'clock kickoff, as I say, to that one. Former Bray and St. Joseph's player Shane Flynn is on the Leicester bench tonight for their game away to Zoria. That's one of the 5:55 kickoffs that's actually still scoreless. Elsewhere at the San Siro, cracker of a game this. AC Milan now leading Celtic by 3-2. Celtic were 2-0 up inside 14 minutes, thanks to goals from Tom Rogic and Odson Edward. But Hakan Calhanoglu, Samu Castillejo and Jorge Hauga have gotten AC Milan back in front in that one. And in Group J, Tottenham just taking the lead in the past few moments away to LASK. A Gareth Bale penalty just before half time that brought them level. Heung-min Son has put them in front. And there are about 27 minutes to go in each of those 5:55 kickoffs. One other game we'll keep tabs on tonight. Rangers will qualify for the last 32 if they avoid defeat at home to Standard Liège from 8 p.m.
All right, so we'll keep, obviously, a very close eye on all that football over the next couple of hours. John Giles coming at 7:30 and on the football show then as well with Melissa Reddy and Miguel Delaney. Andy Farrell's named his team for Saturday against Scotland.
Yeah, and he has recalled the likes of captain Jonathan Sexton, centres Robbie Henshaw and Bundy Aki for that meeting with Scotland, which is a third place playoff in the Autumn Nations Cup. Keane Healy and Rob Herring also restored to the pack, while Ulster prop Eric O'Sullivan is set to become the 11th player to make their Ireland debut this year. He is among the replacements. Edinburgh's South African-born out-half Jaco van der Vaart will make his Scotland debut at the Aviva Stadium. Gregor Townsend has also made 6 changes to the side beaten by France last week. Captain Stuart Hogg is set to win his 80th cap, while Duncan Taylor makes his first start since last year's World Cup. Meanwhile, Farrell revealed today that they've enlisted some highly qualified assistants for the mental aspect of their preparation.
Yeah. Gary Keegan's been with us for some weeks now. He's been doing a tremendous job. So the process is starting. Mick Kearney's he's there. He's not just there as a, obviously Mick was there in previous years as a manager, but he's there as a mentor for many of the players as well. A lot of our players, you know, it isn't just the stress of a match week. It's obviously dealing with life outside of rugby, etc. as well. You know, that can be a whole build up in a different manner. And Mick helps them massively with that. You know, regarding mentors outside of rugby, etc. So with Gary and Mick, you know, we're well on our way to starting something there that's going to help in the future.
Yeah, really interesting to see Gary Keegan in there. Comes with a huge reputation, a huge CV, and listen, after the disasters that Ireland have had, anything that he can bring, you would have to imagine, is an addition. And well done to Andy Farrell to being open enough to having him in as well, I guess.
Yeah, like they're going to have move. To.
Go on, Nathan, or will you?
Sorry, Rich, I was going to say, yeah, like it is one of those things where, like, tactically they're playing in a very similar way, and like the personnel, despite the 11 new caps that we'll have in 2020 by the end of the game on Saturday evening, like realistically they're playing with pretty much a continuity system from what Joe Schmidt would have been playing until the end of his tenure at the 2019 World Cup. So probably when you're looking at the same core group of players, roughly the same tactics, you got to try and find some kind of different edge to turn things around. And maybe it might just be a case of the players having to back themselves a little bit more. Like one of the points that Keith Wood and Brian O'Driscoll were very much agreed on Monday was that Ireland had plenty of opportunities against Georgia last weekend to expand the game and to go wider, but they tended to just go back to the safety first approach and continue trying to bash the ball straight up the middle. Perhaps, you know, with that little bit of extra mental motivation, maybe they can be encouraged now to come out of their shell somewhat against Scotland this weekend when, you know, realistically, there's not a huge amount on the line. They'll want to win the game and preserve their excellent home record. But third or fourth place in the Nations Cup is neither here nor there by the end of this. And Irish fans will be hoping for just a performance that's a bit easier on the eye, I think.
Richie?
Yeah, on that, like, there's been a few different breadcrumbs dropped by the panel and between the management and the players over the course of the last 4 or 5 weeks, whatever this has been over the international window. Between the Keegan thing today and obviously all the help that he can bring with the mental aspect of preparation of the game, the, you know, involvement of Mick Kearney in that as well. But also to Will's point there, like, we, I think a lot is being left in the hands of the players to go and prove on the pitch that they can execute what the coaches are looking for. And to that point as well, Robbie Henshaw, speaking ahead of last week's game with Georgia, he had a really interesting point that I thought didn't get enough traction as I thought it might have done. He was saying that there's a lot more notes passed between himself and the coaching team than there had been under Joe Schmidt. He highlighted that game against England where he made his debut 4 odd years ago. And he's had 3 caps before last week, and there wasn't much to and fro between him and the Ireland camp as to what he needed to do to get back in the fold, or what he was missing, or what he had that he could probably work on to get him up to a certain level. And he says that that's changed under Andy Farrell, that there is a bit more back and forth, even with players who mightn't necessarily be in the top 1, 2, 3 pecking order for their particular position. So there is a lot of stuff being laid in front of the players, and I think it is up to them to go and make the best use of it. But as I say, none of that will matter for anything if they, you know, go and put in another stinker of a performance against Scotland. Thankfully, I don't think that's going to come.
We'll hear from Gary Ringrose, by the way, in the next hour, a player who won't feature this week but will be crucial, you feel, for Andy Farrell going forward. Limerick hurling fans, listen in. Bit of an update on Aaron Gillan.
Yeah, 50-50. This is what they're saying publicly anyway about Aaron Gillan for next week's All-Ireland Hurling Final with Waterford. The forward, as we know, spent Sunday night in hospital after taking a knock to the back in the semi-final win over Galway. Donal O'Grady's also revealed this evening that Gillan's been working with a hand injury, a wrist problem, to be specific, and he also had hamstring issues earlier on in the season too. Meanwhile, David Dempsey is dealing with a hamstring injury of his own, and he will be assessed as the team convenes tomorrow night. Being 0-0 on Sunday week's final with Waterford. So 50-50 for Gillan. And a question mark over David Dempsey would appear to be slightly more hopeful for him.
We are in level 3 right now, so that means we assumed we were sort of reverting sports-wise to where we were previously in level 3 when elite underage sport was allowed to continue. It doesn't seem that's going to actually be the case for certain sports.
It seems so, and it's a strange one to get our heads around because the FAI announced this evening that they've postponed the return of elite football from the age grades of under 13 to under 19. A regression to level 3 restrictions looked set to facilitate underage football's return this coming weekend, but the association say they've been informed that will not now be the case. However, provincial GAA councils this week have been issuing fixture plans for the resumption of minor and under 20 competitions. As we know, the under 20 football final is going to serve as the curtain raiser for the All-Ireland final itself. Later this month, the FAI say they're now asking all parties to review the next steps necessary to facilitate a safe return to playing matches. They've of course highlighted the negligible positive results among the football community during the last level 3 allowance for play, so they're really asking, wondering why. This is kind of playing into Basketball Ireland, I think, as well, who aren't necessarily rated as elite sport, and they have been left in the dark really as regards what they need to do or what needs to happen or what the next steps are for indoor sports and themselves in particular to be able to resume. They put forward a 6-point plan today to put forward how they will exit their current restrictions and get the game back up and running in this country. So it seems difficult to justify when there are certain sports allowed to continue at underage level and quote unquote elite level and others can't.
It's just the latest issue around sport that doesn't seem to have any sort of clarity and is just adding to the confusion. So what is the difference between the under 17 and under 19 League of Ireland seasons that, as far as I know, are 2 weeks from the end and a final to go, so within 3 weekends by Christmas they'll be done? What's the difference between that and a minor and under 21 GAA championship, which also don't have many games to go, but one can continue, one can't? You touch on what happened with basketball. Will, last night you covered this. What about the indoor sports of basketball, boxing, gymnastics, that are away from the big three, but that a huge amount of people use it as an outlet? They are given absolutely no thought, it seems, by any of the advice that's coming from government. And even then, at elite level, at that elite level of those big three sports, when are supporters going to be allowed into stadiums? So we see tonight that Arsenal have 2,000 people in. Yeah. supporters are coming back in. When are we, you know, there's no talk at all of supporters coming back in for the All-Ireland finals, for the FAI Cup final, for the Rugby International this weekend. And it doesn't even seem to be a conversation about when we're going to get them back in, when the vast majority of countries are at the very least making plans. And that doesn't even get to underage level. And that the vast majority of kids, GAA, soccer, you name it, have had one or two competitive games since last March. They're still not allowed contact training, outdoor, pods of 15, with no real plan as to when that is going to come to an end. And listen, my kids are 8 or 9. We're delighted to get them up training. It's difficult to keep their attention span up. But for kids of 14 or 15 to train and train and train and not have any competitive outlet at the end, like God knows what the dropout rates are going to be in that age group when eventually sport does come back fully. And you would have thought with everything that has happened that sport would be a crucial part of a fitter, healthier, better Ireland coming out of COVID. Yet there's such little talk about it aside from let's make sure the League of Ireland, the GAA Championship and international rugby and provincial rugby can go ahead. And they should because they're important drivers of revenue and all of that. But what about the rest of it? What about the stuff that there's no glamour attached to? Like, come out and talk about it. Come out and give us a plan that's not just week on week, sport on sport. And the FAI are confused. Like, are the GAA Championships now going to go ahead or is there going to be pressure on minor and under 20? Like, God knows. God knows what is going to happen.
That's the thing. It's the lack of a plan. Like, nobody's looking for full-on resumption of sport. Nobody's looking for 30, 40,000 people in stadiums tomorrow. That's not what's on the table here. I think everybody involved in any particular sport, no matter what it is, whether it's basketball, boxing, kempo, like anything, they just want to know what's next. At what stage can we do X? At what stage can we do Y? That's the annoying thing, I think, and a frustrating thing from a fan's perspective about when fans will be allowed back in stadiums, because there is no suggestion of when that will be allowed to happen. And for all their faults in the UK, and they do have many in the way that they've handled this pandemic, they have at least put forward a plan for when fans can return. And I can't imagine the FA in England being backed into a situation like the FAI were tonight. And this is issue of fault at the FAI's door for this one. I can't imagine them being in a situation where they've been told to back down because, oh no, that doesn't actually apply to you, where it does apply to another organisation. Like, it's perverse. And I would say Sport Ireland probably need to take a more direct role in this as well. You would hope that they would have plans in place for each and every sport that comes under their jurisdiction. And if not, why not? Because that's the stuff that needs to be going on behind closed doors right now. And taking that from behind closed doors and informing the stakeholders and the public to a degree as well as regards to what happens next.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely be following up on this over the coming days and coming weeks and trying to get some answers as to when all of those things can be tackled. Just to let you know, by the way, we have teamed up with Ainua Collection Hotels to give away different weekend breaks every night this week. And some of us, I think, really need one at this stage. Tonight, we're giving away a break for two people with a two-night stay, including breakfast and dinner at the Hibernian Hotel in Kilkenny. It's only a short distance from popular Kilkenny tourist attractions such as St. Canice's Cathedral, the Smiddix Experience and Kilkenny Castle. You can buy hotel vouchers for any of the 9 Ainua Collection hotels at ainua.ie. And remember, every time you spend more than €100, Ainua donate €5 to Down Syndrome Ireland. To be given a chance of winning tonight, just identify our mystery voice who, despite living in a foreign country, says he has no plans to ditch the Cork accent.
Just trying to hold on to it as much as possible.
It's difficult though, isn't it?
Just trying to hold on to it as much as possible.
I don't know who that is. Give me
just
one more
trying time. To hold on to it as much as possible.
Oh, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. We'll give you a hint later if the entries aren't to the level we would expect. But
I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
They have to.
Once of Cork, now enjoying himself.
So you got to make him work, Nathan. You got to make him work.
Here's a clue. You're giving clues already.
Sorry, I shouldn't do that. Text your name and answer to 53106 for 30 cents. We'll contact you after the show. It's all with thanks to the Ainua Collection Hotels. Get more information on their offers at ainua.ie. Will, thank you as always.
Take it easy, lads.
Hot tub on tonight, or?
I don't think I'll quite get it up tonight. I think I'll focus on watching the Dundalk game and we'll see if I can get it up Christmas week.
All right, Will. On that note... Careful now. Richie, any goals or something you can just guide me through these last seconds?
No, still 3-2 to Milan at home to Celtic. Scoreless between Leicester and Zorya. And Tottenham 2-1 up thanks to the young man's son. Away to Lask in Austria. Right. You probably need a hot tub there too because it's pretty cold.
We do. All right, John Giles is up next. Let's hope, for my sake in particular, it's a long ad break. We'll talk to you in a moment.
The News Rant on Off the Ball
with Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.